Good evening, brothers and sisters. Today I'm going to be reading about the Great Flood in Genesis 6 and 8. We'll be reading from the New King James Version. Everything that we're about to read is before God gave his Mosaic laws to Moses. So in Genesis 6, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." So humans began to increase in number on the earth. Verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So God numbered the days of men. Today and recently, the oldest living people who have been alive have been around 110. And recently, no one has lived more than 120 years, like God said. Verse 4, "There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made men on the earth, and he grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. So God saw the wickedness of the people and regretted ever making man. He said he would wipe out all the humans and the animals off the face of the earth. Verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God liked Noah because of his faithfulness towards him, and it says he was blameless among the people around him. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch." So God told Noah that he would put an end to all people, and he commanded him to build an ark. It must have been scary to hear that all the people on the earth would be wiped away. In verse 15, "And all this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall cover it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." So the ark was about 450 feet long and 75 feet wide. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you." So God breathed the breath of life into every creature when it was created. In verse 18, God says he will establish a covenant with Noah and his descendants. In this case, a covenant is a holy promise. Verse 19, "And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you, and to keep them alive. So God ordered Noah to bring two of every animal that moves along the ground and two of every bird in the sky. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. God also ordered Noah to bring food that they were going to eat on the ark. And thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. So Noah faithfully obeyed all that God had commanded. In Genesis 7, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. So the Lord commanded Noah to go into the ark with his whole family, because he had found them righteous or blameless in that generation of humans. People have always been sinful, and they still are today. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. This appears to be the first time of the use of the word unclean in the Bible. So God must have told Noah which animals were clean and which were unclean. We got more details about that in Leviticus 3 through 4. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud, or those that have cloven hooves. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. Back in Genesis 7 and 4. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wives, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. Imagine what it would feel like to see everything you knew covered in water. Verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, all that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. So Noah is 600 years old during the great flood, which is way older than God was going to permit people to live, which was about 120 years. It says water is coming from the earth as well as the sky. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons were with him, entered the ark. So the only people on the ark are Noah's direct family, none of his friends or relatives. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So again here he mentions the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. It says that the Lord shut him in, so it sounds like God closed the doors of the ark for Noah. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The water increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. It says the mountains were covered with water. Mount Everest is over 5.5 miles high, which is really high. And verse 21, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and man and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things that were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. It must have been sad to see everything you knew on the earth pass away, and the panic that everyone on the earth felt as the floodwaters came onto the earth. This is God's wrath. In verse 24, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. 150 days is a long time. So Noah must have had to bring quite an abundance of food to keep him and his family and the animals alive. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. It must have been a miraculous wind to get rid of so much water. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Mount Ararat is a little over 3 miles high. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass, at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. So Noah's sending out birds to look for land. In verse 9, but the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him. For the water is on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So we waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. So it seems like God may have been guiding the dove, because the chances of it grabbing an olive leaf and bringing it back to Noah were pretty low. The olive leaf was a sign that there was land. And the dove not returning meant that there was land that was okay to live in. Verse 13, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. It must have been daunting to open the windows or the door of the ark for the first time, to see a world with no other living humans. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. And then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. The ark must have been, gone to be an old site for Noah, because he spent almost a year building the ark, and he was in it for about a year. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So the first thing Noah does after getting out of the ark is build an altar and glorify God. And God is indeed pleased with Noah and promises to never flood the entire earth again. One lesson we can take from this is that we should strive to be like Noah and be blameless on the earth today. That concludes my lesson. We'll now have a song of invitation.